Do you know who was named the best putting mat in 2022 by My Golf Spy? It was the mats from Birdie Ball. It'll help you sink more putts and make more birdies with a Birdie Ball putting green, all in the comfort of your own home. Check out Birdie Ball online at birdieball.com. Birdie Ball is here to make golf more fun and accessible. Find out more at birdieball.com.
It's time for Grilling at the Green. Join Jeff Tracy as he explores the golfing lifestyle and tries to keep it in the short grass for the hackers, dew sweepers, and turf spankers. Here's Jeff.
Just open up the door and let's take good times in. Tomorrow's gonna be better than today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Grilling at the Green. I'm JT. We're based here in Portland, but we've got stations across the country, and we are on the Golf News Net iHeart channel there. We thank our good buddy Ryan Ballingy for that. This segment of Grilling at the Green is brought to you by Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended, and also the Oregon Crab Commission. From sea to plate, Oregon Dungeness Crab is a real treat. If you've never had it, try it. Well, I'm really pleased today. Long time no see. That's an inside joke. Maybe we'll tell you later. Have Bob Winskowitz with us, the CEO and founder of Squares Golf Shoe. I don't know if we'll stop laughing through this whole thing, Bob, but anyway, welcome back to the show.
It is a pleasure. It's always good to talk to you.
We will tell them by the end of the show, but right. Anyway, like this. So you were on a year or two ago. You were just kind of picking up ahead of steam with Squares. How's that going? And how's it, what directions are you going in now? And give us an overview, please.
Yeah, we've come a long way, Jeff, in the last couple of years. You know, it was a very difficult thing to break into the golf industry, particularly in footwear, with a, you know, a design that really breaks the mold of tradition. And what I mean by that is a rounded toe shoe. You know, Squares, what we did is we looked at science, but we had this premise that if we can improve somebody's balance and stability, you will hit the ball farther and straighter. And as we started to look at that in footwear, what happened was, is that all the science led us down the path of opening up the toe box. And it's very popular now with you know, sneaker brands like Hoka and Ultra. And really what we learned that as you put pressure on the ground, your toes need and want to splay, which is open up. Mm-hmm. And if they can't, if you're in a rounded toe shoe, what happens is they round under. And when you angle the toes to the center of the shoe, you start moving in your big toe, which is about 40% of the weight bearing in your foot. And you start losing balance. And so the science told us that if we can open up the toe box, we're not making a wide shoe. It's a normal width shoe, just opening up where the toes can sit. You will improve somebody's balance and stability. But then what we're able to do is just on the outsole is widen the outsole just a little under the ball of your foot. So now you have even more balance and stability. So that was our whole premise. And that led us to a geometry on the front of the shoe. And that geometry is something where it's less rounded than most. Mm-hmm. But it's not square. It's got a 70 millimeter radius.
Sure.
And so with that, it allows the toes to sit naturally. But to tell that story, I am not going to put myself in the same bracket as Eli Callaway or Carsten Solheim. But if you recall when the Big Bertha came out, you know, it looked like an oversized snow shovel with no hosel, you know, and people said, what the heck is that? And what happened was he was after perimeter weighting. And when he got done, that's the way perimeter weighting looked. And that's what we did. It's how do I improve your balance and stability? And this is where the science led us. And so the look of the shoe is different, but the performance attributes are far different too.
Well, that makes perfect sense to me. I told you off the air that I came out of the horse world. You know, when you are this may not make sense to people, and don't run away just from my analogy here, but when you're shoeing horses and you're trying to get them level, a lot of times you have to spread it out a little bit. Okay. The wider the base for the horse, there's a couple things that happens there. A horse's blood pumps from its movement of its feet when it hits the ground and goes back up. That's the circulation aspect of it. All right. The science there, but also, they got into a trend 30 years ago and stuff where they wanted these horses to have little tiny feet, just, you know, symmetrical. So they have these big bodied horses on these little tiny feet. Well, they had a lot of breakdowns. They had a lot of horses that couldn't perform. They went back to a normal size foot, spread the foot out a little bit. There was a length of the foot. There were certain parameters they had to stay within the length limits, but the width limits, there weren't really any parameters on that. When they went back to that, the horses started performing better. And I know as a guy that's above 55, that when I can spread my feet out a little bit, and like you were talking with the toes, I have much better balance. I can't do the toes curled under thing. It just doesn't work for me.
It doesn't work really for most people. We've made, you know, footwear making over the years, you know, we've kind of made it work in our everyday life, but we do know that we're the most comfortable when we put sandals on or when we open up, you know, the toe box. Mm-hmm. Our foot can operate function properly. And it's, you know, I don't think I've ever heard somebody wear a pair of sandals, open toe sandals around, and then at the end of the day say, I can't wait to get them off. Yeah. You know, so, you know, that's kind of the extreme, but it gives you that point of reference that if the feet can operate properly, instead of angling them to center at the end of the round, you're going to feel a heck of a lot less fatigue.
Well, and it makes sense too, Bob, from the science aspect of it and the motion of the swing, what have you, when your feet are balanced and steady and you can shift your weight, bring it back through and do all those good things we always talk about in the world of golf. Versus that curled effect, I think you're just going to hit the ball better.
Oh, no question, because it's something that is proven with science that your arms follow your body. So if you're too much forward, too back, too left, too right, you know, nothing good is going to consistently happen. And, you know, I was watching something the other day on the internet, somebody selling a club that supposedly fix your slice, and that's because it's got a closed face. You know, I see something like that, and I say it's like trying to fix a rattle in your car by turning up your radio. And, it's something that if you are not balanced and stable, you will never really optimize, you know, the pressure that you exert in the ground. And utilizing all of that, because one of the differences in a pro and an amateur is that we can all create that pressure with the ground, but how much of that pressure that you create do you ultimately use when you hit the golf ball?
Right.
And that really is a function of postural control, your control of your body, because if you're leaning too far left, right, and you're moving around, you're losing energy. You're creating inefficient. You'll never use that. But that's what the pros do. They can create it and always use it. And we can create it, but we just start reducing it from the time that downswing happens. So, you know, if I can improve your balance and stability, you will hit it farther and straighter.
So there's hope.
There is. And again, you know, footwear, we've seen in footwear making over the last 4 or 5 years have been one of my motivations of getting into this business. When I see these lightweight sneaker-like shoes with no cleats on the bottom of them, you know, golfers have no understanding that this is creating so many inefficiencies in their golf swing.
Right.
You know, if you can hold a shoe by the heel and the toe and twist it, don't play golf in it. And the reason is because it's got so much play and you're creating so much pressure with the ground, it's going to create these imbalances during your swing that you can't recover from.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back on Grilling at the Green with Bob Winskowitz from Squares Golf Shoes. And we're going to get a travel tip from Bob when we come back. Please stay with us.
this is Sarah Kemp, and you're listening to Jeff Tracy on Grilling at the Green.
Hey everybody, JT here. You know, every week on Grilling at the Green, we bring you a travel tip, and that is brought to you by the Weston Dealerships. I've known those guys since I was a kid, and they have one way of doing business. It's called the Weston Way. It's family oriented, and there's no better people to deal with. Check out Weston Kia on Southeast Stark in Gresham, Oregon. Welcome back to Grilling at the Green. We'd like to thank you for listening today on whatever platform or radio station you are doing that on. If you want to reach out to us, really simple. You can go to our Facebook page, or we have a Twitter/X page. We are on Instagram, all that stuff. You can just reach out to us that way. You can go to the website, and there's a little contact us page like most of them have right there. So you can do that. We're talking with Bob Winskowitz, from the CEO and founder of Squares Golf. Now, Bob, this is where we get a travel tip from our guests. We have a lot of people. You know, it's a lot more available for people these days to get around. I'm on the West Coast, you're on the East Coast. I can be there in 5 hours and we can go play golf. So what's a good travel tip that you've developed over the years?
My travel tip is to, you know, book the flight. Obviously, you book the flight as far in advance as you possibly can. And don't necessarily worry about your seat selection, all that, because when you get to the airport and you get up to the gate, they always hold back X amount of seats. And it seems like if I go up and you're nice to the person that is behind the counter and you say, look, you know, I'm in this seat. I've been moved up into those extra room seats at no additional cost, just because somebody said, hey, it's available. Nobody's sitting there, and I'd like to be nice to somebody today. So I guess the travel tip is ultimately be nice to the people behind the gate and then make a special request. I don't think they're going to move you to first class, but
they
most likely can help you.
Yeah, they'll move you up. Another travel tip from Jeff here. It doesn't hurt when your sister-in-law works for the airlines in the in the customer service lounge. So I just want to share that with you. Anyway, we want to thank the folks at Weston Kia, Northwest largest Kia dealer out in Gresham, Oregon. We appreciate their support of this. When you started Squares, I mean, you named a couple of them, but you've got FootJoy, you've got Callaway, you've got a lot of Nike, my God. You know, the behemoths out there. What did they look at you like you had three heads or something when you started Squares? Or was it more like, oh, it's just a little startup and whatever?
I'm sure it was a combination of both, because it's, you know, when you break into the market with something that looks different, you know, some people react to that change as something that's, you know, not so good, but you know, you see products that evolve over the years, and when change takes place, sometimes the form factor has to change as well. And you know, so I think it was kind of a wait and see from these guys. Surely startups are, you know, they're viewed in the golf industry as you know, we'll wait and see after a couple of years if they're still around. But you know, I think many people would agree with me. Innovation today, I don't think, comes from a lot of these big companies, these massive corporations like Adidas and FootJoy and Nike. I think innovation comes from the people like myself and other people, that entrepreneurs that see an opportunity and accept the risk. And kind of put blinders on, in a sense, and say, look, I may be against the biggest guy in the school here in a fight, but you know what? My father used to say is hit him first and hit him as hard as you can, and who knows, you know?
Right.
And, you know, you never know. It's like any given Sunday. But, you know, we went out there on a mission and stayed with a performance story where others, you know, really weren't talking performance, Jeff. They were talking you know, new upper materials and new colorways and things like that. And we were being very specific, saying, if you change these shoes, all the testing says you'll pick up 2.9 miles per hour in swing speed, which is over 10 yards, which is right around 10 yards of distance. So, you know, we had a different message, but I think they did look at us like, you know, a piece of lint on their shirt and, you know, nothing that was disruptive. And here we are 4 years later.
I'm looking at the shoes behind you. I'm looking at the spike pattern, if you will, and then the permanent spikes. And I don't even know what you call those little things that
we call them traction knobs.
Traction knobs. Okay. Your designs in that, I'm sure you just didn't throw them in there and say, well, that looks cool, let's do that. There had to be some testing and science behind those too.
Absolutely. You know, you with the invent many, many years ago, pressure mats and all the software today and cameras, and you know, you can you watch how the foot moves through the swing. You know, many people are either a lateral golfer, some are a rotational, and some are a combination of both. But no matter what, you know, to finish the swing, you've got to get that right hip through, and you've got to rotate your foot up onto the toe. Well, you know, you can't have, if you were to cement your two feet down, it'd probably break your ankles. You know, you've got to have some rotational movement. So if you look at the bottom of our shoes, it's got a rotational pattern and also removable cleats. But all of the nubs on the shoe are at differing heights because you need different traction in different areas. Now, where we place these cleats, that's where the greatest amount of pressure is exerted on the bottom of the feet. So those removable cleats work in conjunction with those nubs. But an interesting fact for people to really understand and digest for a minute is the fact that 82% of all tour players wear a shoe that has a removable cleat. Of those people, about 30%, I understand, still wear a metal cleat, which we as amateurs can't do it. But why do they do it? For traction. For connection, from connection to the ground, so they can generate that pressure on all different lies, whether it's a side hill, downhill, or wherever it may be. You need that traction and that connection to the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you, I played golf Wednesday, and I slipped. Of course, you know, Massachusetts isn't that much different than Oregon, but you guys get a little more snow and inclement weather than we do. Precipitation wise. Point being is I went to hit a ball and I have my regular, I won't name the brand, but they're golf shoes and they've got cleats in them and stuff, but I slipped. I didn't fall down, but I just slipped, you know, my foot kind of went out from under me because the grass was wet and I was on a little downhill incline, not much. And I thought, that's not good. You know, that's really not good. Anyway, we're going to pick this up on the other side. We're talking with Bob Winskowitz from Squares Golf Shoes. I'm soon to be a proud owner of a pair of Squares Golf Shoes. I'm very excited about that. Anyway, Bob and I will be back right here on Grilling at the Green in just a minute.
Hey, everybody, it's JT. You know, I talk about Painted Hills all the time, and we always say beef the way nature intended, but it's more than that, because each bite of Painted Hills will make your taste buds explode, put a big, bright smile on your face, and whoever's at your dinner table will have a big, bright smile on their face, and you can thank me for that later. Just go to PaintedHillsBeef.com and find out more. You won't regret it.
Back to Grilling at the Green. I'm JT, and today we're talking with Bob Winskowitz from Squares Golf Shoes. He's the CEO and the guy that the light bulb went on to make this happen. We'd like to thank the folks again at Painted Hills Natural Beef, Beef the Way Nature Intended, also Grilla Grills. My other show, my barbecue show, I work with Grilla Grills on that. They make some great outdoor kitchen stuff. I happen to have most of one here. And whether it's gas, pellet, or charcoal. So go to grillagrills.com. When you're up against the big behemoths, and we talked about that, quite a bit in the last segment, Bob, but when you're doing that, when Did any of them ever come up to you? Doesn't matter who it was. And after you got established, say, you know, Bob, that's a pretty good idea. That's pretty smart.
You know, not really, but no, the answer is no. However, I did speak with a very well-known footwear designer that is a consultant for one of the large companies. And we had a conversation, I'm going to say maybe 2 years ago. And he said that, you know, you have nailed it relative to the design. And he had mentioned to me the three most important pieces of golf footwear design, in his opinion, and, you know, which are scientifically true, which is, you know, the traction pattern, building out a wider base, and allowing room in the toe box. And it was one of those things where everybody was trying to increase the width of the toe box by just making the shoe more wide. And it started, you know, people knew the design limitations because it ended up looking like a clown shoe, you know, if you kept a rounded toe shoe, you know. And then, you know, some of the ways they tried to expand the base under the ball of your foot was by, like, on the FootJoy Pro SLs, adding these pods that kind of hung over the outsole. But he confirmed that. And the fourth thing he said, which I found to be very interesting, he said a lacing technology, because you need to bring the upper material down on your foot, and you needed to lock it in. Yes. Without having it loosen up, because if it does, you know, it will loosen until it comes untied. But from that point that you tie it the first time till it comes untied, all that in between, there's inefficiencies of your foot moving around, which is not only causing fatigue, but is causing some inefficiencies in your golf swing. So he was very complimentary about how he addressed all the components that he felt to be the more important thing. So, but, you know, since then, I've not had, you know, I think we're probably looked at as a competitor that,
sure,
you know, that not too many people are going to come out and openly and publicly say, hey, you got a great design.
But actually, it's better to be looked at as a competitor than, like you said before, a piece of lint on their shirt.
Yes,
I would think. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, last year we were named the most scientifically advanced golf shoe by Sports Illustrated. You know, we've been named the most stable golf shoe 2 years in a row by My Golf Spy. We were, you know, since we launched 4 years ago, we've been named on the best of the best, you know, golf shoes by Golf Digest. So, you know, we're out there and we're making, you know, impact on people's games, and you know, people have taken notice.
So, you've got a very prominent person. You've got some players on tour that are wearing your shoes. Excuse me, Bob. But also you've got Sir Nick working with you guys. Share with us. I mean, we've seen the ads and the print ads and the TV ads and stuff. But when he first put on a pair of squares, and you were probably somewhere in the vicinity, and when he did that, what was his reaction?
Actually, it's quite an interesting story, and I'll make it very brief, is that one day back, I think it was May, I should know the exact day, but May of 2020, I got a call from a gentleman by the name of Jeremy Eisenberg, who is Sir Nick Faldo's agent at the time, and said, hey, I'm Sir Nick Faldo's agent, and Sir Nick would like to get a couple pairs of shoes to try. And I'm like on the other end of the phone, all right, who is this? I thought it was a friend of mine breaking my chops. And yeah. We sent him a couple of pairs, and we set up a Zoom call about 30 days later. And I was honored to be on that call, a little starstruck. And he's telling me the story, and he leaned back in his chair and he said, I never would have believed it, but I feel more balanced, more stable, and I've picked up 2.6 miles an hour in my swing speed. So it was, it rolled out like that. And he said, how do I get involved? And that story, he's told that exact story. And, you know, it was very interesting. And I was so proud of that, but it was kind of a confirmation, affirmation of what we've accomplished, because, you know, Sir Nick in his career was one of those very unique players that changed the swing halfway through his career. And,
right,
you know, he would practice. He was known as somebody who was very methodical, and, you know, he kept to himself in the practice range, dedicated a lot of time and effort to getting better and winning tournaments. And he was very critical of everything, the equipment, his swing. And, you know, he applied that same kind of criticism to our shoes, you know, and focused and came back and he said, geez, I'm, you know, I love these things. Great. How do I get involved? And I was honored.
Oh, cool. And he is involved now. I mean,
I talked to him I talked to him 2 days ago. He's very involved. And I don't think there's a call I have with him where he says, hey, what else can I be doing? How can I help? He believes in this. He's out there on his Facebook, his Twitter, promoting this. He's on the commercials. And, you know, the fun part about commercials with him is we just talk to him about what we're hoping to accomplish in the commercials. And then we kind of wind them up and he goes, you know, and he knows what to say, because, you know, his knowledge of the golf swing, knowledge of our product and what it delivers, it's a very easy thing for him to do.
You know, that's what you just said there, Bob. That's one of the best directors in Hollywood does it that way. Names happen to be Clint Eastwood, but that's the way he directs a picture. He comes and talks to Bob. He talks to Jeff. He talks to, this is what we want. You good with that? Okay. All right, let's go. Boom. And it goes just like that.
And I had the pleasure back in the day of working for Arnold Palmer. And, you know, he was exactly the same way. He would be just tell me what we're trying to accomplish here. Tell me. He'd sit there, he'd look around for a second. He'd go on camera and he can make you cry. You know, yeah. he was the best at it. He was great.
What do you think Mr. Palmer would have thought of these shoes? Would he have given them a shot?
I am 100% sure he would. And I'll tell you another quick story is when I worked for him, I was the senior VP of sales and marketing. And at one of the meetings, we were presenting to him a new iron. And I got halfway through my pitch and he stops and he says, Bob, excuse me. He goes, he said, what's in it for the golfer? And I was taken off my game. And I said, Mr. Palmer, what'd you say? He said, what's in it for the golfer? And, you know, at the time we were worried about how good it looked and, you know, shaft colors and this and that and this and that. And, you know, finally I got myself back on. I said, well, you know, it's going to do this and do this and do that. But I never forgot that. And he was all about how the product could help the golfer play better. And he always believed that if we can help somebody play the game better, they'll enjoy it more and they'll keep coming back. And, you know, people, I had a good biomechanic tell me once, he said, when you put a product, any product on your body, it becomes part of your performance.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Mr. Palmer would have loved these. I think he would have been supporting these because, again, we have all of these scientific studies and to prove that it does improve your balance and stability, and therefore you are hitting the ball farther and straighter.
Well, the other thing, and I think you nailed it before, Bob, was they don't look like clown shoes. They look like really cool shoes to me. From a guy who spent a lot of his life in cowboy boots, if you will, you know, and we had the selection of the A-toe, the J-toe, the U-toe. I don't know. There was a C-toe too. I think there was about seven of them that you could choose from the real pointy ones, which God help you if you had to wear those, to more of a U-toe, which is what they would call a Wellington boot, you know, like that. Those were the most comfortable, because they were wider. And then later on, the square toes came back out and kind of like your squares golf shoes. And those worked out too. But, you know, I think sometimes people forget how important their feet are, not just in the golf game, but just in everyday life.
I couldn't agree more. And it's so evident in golf.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
because they, like you said, they buy a lot of these crappy $29, you know, molded soles. There's nothing wrong with molded soles, but there's no support in them. They're nothing. They're just hard, and they got a cute flower on them or something, you know?
I don't know. And I always challenge people. I say, what's the most important piece of golf equipment? Is it the shoe? Is it the club or the ball? And I lay them down on the ground. I said, which one of these helps you generate swing speed?
Right.
And a club is like the lightning rod. And the ball just sits there, and it takes the energy that you create with the ground, and your only connection to the ground is your shoe. And I watch people go spend $700-$800 on a driver and $49 or $59 on a pair of shoes. And I say, why not invest in a good pair of good golf shoes that can render that driver impotent? You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's something that people place too much emphasis on the driver. And I can take, if I was to fit you first, you know, shaft flex, grip size, length of the club, and lie angle. Once I get that right, I can put any club in your hand and you'll be within 3 or 4 or 5 yards. And all the studies are out there. So, you know, to spend $800 on a driver, that's great that you use, what, 7, 8, 10, 12 times around. But when you golf shoes, you know, if you're not balanced and stable and you're walking the course, you need a good solid piece of equipment on your feet.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, wrap up the regular portion of Grilling at the Green, and then Bob's going to stick around for after hours. But you're listening to Grilling at the Green on, guess what, the Golf News Net iHeart Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, JT here. If you need something to practice with in the inclement weather, try Birdie Ball. Go to birdieball.com, check out the actual Birdie Balls, their packages, their putting greens, which I happen to have a couple of those, and they work great. Birdieball.com.
Welcome back to Grilling at the Green. We've got Bob Woodskowitz with us today. Robert, I should say, is his proper name, but we call him Bob around here. CEO, founder of Squares Golf Shoes. And Bob is going to stick around for after hours. What's been the, I don't want to put anything in a negative light, but what's been the biggest criticism that you've had to endure with Squares so far? I don't see any that's valid, but there's always somebody.
Yeah, when we launched, our shoes were right in the high 17s in terms of the weight of the shoe, 17 ounces. And at the time, the industry was going completely the other way, you know, when you know, FootJoy and the Dry Joys, and you had all the performance shoes, like even their Premieres today and their their Traditions, and all of these shoes are in the 17 ounce range. And so, same with most of the performance based golf shoes. We were a little heavier by just, you know, maybe, you know, 25 grams, but not much. And, you know, we had a lot of comments about the weight of the shoe. We had some times where people talked about the breathability of the shoe, but this was stuff that was good stuff for us because we worked hard on correcting it. Like our new shoe is almost 2 ounces lighter. Every one of our shoes now that we're making is got a microfiber upper, and microfiber is lighter than the synthetic leather we were using before. And it's also very breathable, and it allows the heat and the perspiration to exit the shoe without water coming in. It's 100% waterproof. So the criticisms were actually things that were valid, you know, that we addressed. You know, there's been people that said, look, I don't like the geometry of the shoe. And that's it, personal preference. We don't try to sell anybody off of that.
Sure.
You know, we just say, look, this is a reason why we did it. But other than that, that's really been the, you know, the essence of what we've heard in terms of, you know, negative aspects of the shoe.
Do you think you'll ever get into a dress shoe aspect going down the road?
It's interesting and actually kind of funny that you brought that up, is that, you know, I don't think we'd ever go outside of the, you know, the sports industry and create something, you know, typical footwear, but we are looking at new models where we're going to launch in the fall that are more traditional looking in the sense that they've got some traditional looks to them, the old leather type looks to them. And I think we found a way to incorporate that kind of traditional look with our design that really makes it look very, very fashionable and high end.
Kind of the, and I'm not saying this would be it, but excuse me, kind of the old wingtip look in a way, the more formal, if you will.
Yeah, more classic, more traditional look. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Just curious. I mean, I'm the tennis shoe look guy anymore. I don't go anywhere where I'm very formal. I don't have to, but yeah, I could do that. Where do you think you'll be, you know, 5 years? Do you think you'll be in the big chain stores, or do you like what the business model you're using now?
We will be in the chain stores. We were a direct to consumer company initially, and then this November we went into Worldwide Golf Shops, which is, you know, Roger Dunn and Edwin Watts, and they've got, I think, 5 or 6 brands under that umbrella. We've just created an online relationship with Golf Town up in Canada and PGA Tour stores, and we're having conversations with other larger retailers that are out there as well. When I see us, you know, with golf growing into growing in that direction, but we've recently launched a baseball shoe that is doing quite well. We've launched a pickleball shoe that has been in test market for about a year and a half. And so we're going to leverage this whole balance and stability mindset into other land-based sports, because whether it's baseball or pickleball, you've got to use the ground. Right. And you need to be balanced and stable to effectuate the motion. And so the technology and the design is leverageable across other markets and other sports.
One last question in this part of the show, because we're running out of time, Bobby. You ever think of just a walking shoe?
Yes.
Okay. You don't have to say any more than that, but that's a good thing. All right. Bob Winstowitz from Squares Golf Shoes, CEO and founder. Thank you. And you're going to stick around, suffer the other abuse, but we want to thank Bob for being with us today. And we will be back next week with another edition of Grilling at the Green. Oh, real quick. I'm sorry, Bob. Where can they find you? Give us a website or a URL there.
Squares.com. And that's Squairz. Squairz.com.
Oh, cool. I'm sorry about being so late with that, but
no worries.
We've had a tough time getting this show done today, folks. So if you stick around for after hours, we'll tell you that. Anyway. Thank you, Bob. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with another edition of Grilling at the Green. Until then, take care, go out, play some golf, and be kind.
Grilling at the Green is produced by JTSD Productions, LLC, in association with Salem Media Group, all rights reserved.